live and local. It's Stiles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Okay, as promised, we have straightened everything out, and we have De'Aaron Fox for you. We will play De'Aaron Fox. We will react to it, get your thoughts on it, and then we will play Sabonis and do the same thing. Here is De'Aaron Fox exit interview.
Hey, De'Aaron. Sort of natural progression of you guys as a squad. Where do you think you guys finish this year? How disappointed are you guys by sort of the ending, and how do you guys move forward sort of into this offseason?
I think obviously it's a disappointing ending. I mean, you want to continue to play for more. I don't think we were bad this year, but obviously the West got tougher, and I don't think we stepped up to that plate. Obviously, we can look at, you know, countless games of, you know, we had the lead or games we should have won, and you look back at that, and it definitely bit us in the back, coming towards the end of the season.
De'Aaron, for you, how much is just your confidence in the direction and you know, kind of the construction of this group shaken by having a step back this year?
I mean, I think we were in positions to, you know, have a better record. You know, 46 wins is not bad, but at the end of the day, you see where this conference is going. You look back at games that we should have won, and you're looking like, oh, we could have had 51 wins or 52 wins, and you're sitting in a different spot. But at the end of the day, we didn't. We know that we could have been a better team this year, and we let some games slip away. We're looking at 46 wins, and you're like, oh, it's a bad season. And if we do consider that a bad season, then we know that we have to be much better. But as a team, we know that we have to be better. We have to build differently. And, I mean, that's not for me to do. You know, that's for, you know, for the front office. But for me, I come in, you know, you put in the work and you go out there with the guys that you have. You go out and you battle. And I'm glad that we were able to do it with this group. I mean, we 2 wins from last year put you from the 3rd seed to the 9th seed. So this conference isn't getting any easier. And we have to continue to build towards the future. And I don't think I don't think as a team that we were a bad team. I think that we had chances and we just didn't seize those chances.
Hey, Fox, you led the league in steals this year, also a high volume of 3-point shooting with consistency. Those were probably the 2 biggest areas of growth throughout your career. So what's the next step, you think, in your evolution into that star potential that so many people talk about?
I mean, I think just continue to be more efficient on the court, just from all aspects. Continue to be a better defender, continue to get stronger, more athletic. I mean, you look at every aspect of the game, and I feel like I can continue to get better as a player, continue to do whatever my team asks me to win games. I think I wasn't as good late in games this year as I was last year, but like I said, I think we took a step backwards a little bit as a team, and we still have things that we can continue to get better at as a group.
You're in, Coach Brown often talks about how much adversity can help a group like this kind of grow going forward. How much do you feel like the adversity and the ups and downs of this season has kind of helped elevate you guys, and what kind of things do you think you're going to build off of it going forward?
I think that always comes with consistency. I think that's always the word that, you know, that gets used. You know, how can you become consistent? Defensively is usually where it is, because, I mean, it's basketball. You know, there are going to be games where you don't make shots. There are going to be games where other team makes shots. So for us, continuing to try to grow as a defensive team usually gives you the best shot to win games. You know, you can be the best offense, but if shots just aren't going in that day, then, you know, what can you lean back on? So for us, it has to be continuing to grow as a defensive team. Then, I mean, free throws are one thing you can also control, and we know that we have to be a better free throw shooting team, because there are games that we lost this year that if you don't shoot 65% from the free throw line, you probably win that game. So,
De'Aaron, I'd like to ask you a question about a member of the coaching staff, Jordy Fernandez. And I'm not talking about the situation, prospect, future, anything like that, but him working with this organization, him being part of the coaching staff, him, I believe, who was leading the defense. Can you talk a little bit about working with him these past couple seasons?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jordy was great. It's funny that you said that, because Mikael actually hit me this morning asking me about him. But Man, Jordy was great. And I think everybody who's worked with him knew at some point, you know, he'd be a head coach in this league. But he was fantastic for us. I think my first interaction with Jordy, we were in San Diego. I was working out with Luke. And he just sat in a workout, and he was like, and this was before last year. He was like, I don't think you're working hard enough. He's like, I don't think you understand. Like, I've coached against you. I don't think you understand how good you can be. But I don't think that, and this is like, me and Luke have probably been working together for like two weeks or so. And he's like, I don't think you're working hard enough. I don't think you're doing what you should be doing to become the player that you want to be. And he kind of stood with me, because I'm like, I felt like I'm going hard. Like, but that's one thing that definitely stood out to me just from our first interaction. And Jordy's been great for us, man. Just the attention to detail that he pays, not only during like the playoff series last year or like the two playing games that we had because they're one game series, but day in and day out, you know, just the attention to detail from offense to defense, to how we're getting back, to, you know, some box outs, just everything that he does. I think everybody knew that at some point he's going to be able to lead a group. And obviously you look at it, it's like, it's a sad day, of course, you know, losing someone who did so much for y'all. But I mean, that's the nature of this business. You know, every coach wants to be a head coach at some point. And I mean, I think he's going to be great for Brooklyn, for the next group of guys that he leads. But I think everybody loved Jordy, you know, being able to be around him every day and just enjoy to be coached by him. But I think he's going to be a hell of a head coach for sure.
De'Aaron, you saw Keegan take a big step this season, especially working out with you this off season. Do you expect that type of step again from him? And how does he work on maybe being a little bit more aggressive in terms of attacking the basket? I know it was different shots working on stuff like that this off season, but how does he go forward with that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a lot different whenever kind of teams are keying in on you a little more, and I think that happened this year. But I feel like he let, you know, shots, him making or missing shots, kind of dictate the way that he played a little bit. And I think going forward, like I say all the time, man, it's basketball. There are going to be times where you don't make shots, but you can't allow that to affect the way that you play. And I think for him going forward, you know, that's going to be one thing that, you know, he tries to key in on. And I mean, I told him, like, regardless if you're making or missing shots, we need you to be aggressive. But that just comes with, I think that comes with time being on the court. Obviously, there are some guys in this league that don't give a damn if they make or miss shots. Like, you're going to go into some games knowing that this guy is going to shoot 20 times. He does not care if he makes or misses shots. He's going to shoot the ball 20 times. And we need him to have that type of mentality, because regardless of, I mean, at times when you're playing against some people, if they miss their first two or three threes, we're like, oh, we got him. Like, he's not going to shoot the ball. He doesn't even want the ball anymore. And you can't be that type of player, because that does nothing but hurt your team. But, you know, obviously you don't want to be the guy that can go 0 for 20, because that could also hurt your team. But now Keegan's confidence just continued to grow. Obviously he became more comfortable putting the ball on the floor, but we need him to be even more comfortable putting the ball on the floor. We can't have you out there, you know, dribbling the ball and looking like you don't want to dribble the ball. But I mean, he's growing as a player. I mean, he didn't handle the ball a lot in college. He was in the post a lot in college. And then his first year in the league, he just spotted up a lot, or he was coming off of pin downs. And obviously those things are hard to do. Like, and we can talk about last game, like, he's wrestling with Neji Marshall the whole time. Like, now you get the ball, now you're a bit tired. So we need him to be a lot more comfortable being able to play out of the pick and roll, or be able to bring the ball up, because being in a wrestling match all game and then you finally get the ball, it's like, yo, I have no legs after doing that. So just being able to be a lot more dynamic. Obviously, we know that he can come off of pin downs. We know that he can spot up. What else can you add to your game? And we definitely need that out of him.
De'Aaron, obviously you took your game to new heights defensively this season, and you've talked a little bit already about an all defensive team. Is that something that's kind of on your radar moving forward in your career?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I mean, a lot of that comes with team defense as well. And it's, just, like I said, just continuing to build as a defensive team, I think helps all individuals in that aspect. And, you know, if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But for us, I mean, I want to be on a team that's solid defensively, night in and night out. You know that you're going to, you know, go through hell playing against a team. So we want to continue to be built defensively, and obviously we talked about it after the last game, there doesn't have to be give and take. You know, you look at OKC, you look at Boston, I think Denver, like all those teams are in the top 10 defensively, and you're talking about those teams winning championships, and that's where we want to have to get to. We don't want to have to sit here like, oh, defensively we're this, but offensively we're not that, and you're not going to win. I think it's like Detroit in like 04 was like the only team that wasn't top 10 in offense that won a championship in the last whatever many years. But then you look at all the teams that won championships, they're top 10 in offense and near the top half of the league in defense. And I think the only team that wasn't was like one of those three-peat Lakers. But then they turned it up defensively in the playoffs because the year before that, I think they were like number one or two in defense. So you knew that they could do it. So we have to be able to be great on both ends of the court if we want to be a championship contending team.
It seems like a lot of times you're talked about as if you kind of just are what you are, but how much do you feel like you have another level that you can reach?
I definitely feel like, I mean, 26, I've been in the league for 7 years. I feel like I've gotten better every year. So why do I think that my growth just stunts now? I mean, I still have things that I can work towards. I've had stretches where I looked really good. I've had stretches where I wasn't good. So you want to obviously have those stretches be longer for a period of time, but obviously knowing that you're going to have a slump here and there. I work at my game. I work at my game every day. Regardless if we just come in here and get shots, regardless if we come in here and go live, I work. So I don't feel like I'm done growing as a player.
De'Aaron, obviously you've been here a while now. There's been a lot of turnover in your tenure here. But now the last couple of years, getting a little consistency from the coaching staff, obviously, and an opportunity to kind of build on things rather than every year tear it down, rebuild it. What does that mean to you personally, and what are you looking forward to like in this offseason? Obviously, there's some question marks, but just generally being able to build something for the future.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't know what happens this summer, but just having that consistency of some guys that you know are going to be here, coaches that you know are going to be here, it gives you that confidence knowing that you're going to take that next step forward and not have to wonder what the foundation is going to look like. And I feel like you can look at Dallas. Like last year, they didn't – obviously, the year before, they made the playoffs. Last year, they didn't make the playoffs. This year, you know, they make a trade at the deadline, and they look like, honestly, the best team in the league for after the All-Star break. So those are just, like, little things that – you know, you look forward to, and having that consistency as an organization. And I mean, it's fun, you know, obviously. And like we said, this conference isn't going to get any harder, but you don't want it to. I mean, isn't going to get any easier, and you don't want it to. I mean, you want to be able to be a top of a conference like the Western Conference this year. And that gives you confidence going into the playoffs that you have a chance to win a championship. So if we are able to get better, if we're able to fight out and get a spot in this Western Conference, if we're able to get 50 wins, like that gives you confidence. And like I said, 46 wins, we look at it because we didn't make the playoffs, like, oh, that's not good. We're a couple blemishes away from having 51 seasons, so I don't think we're very far off.
Kind of along those lines, like, just, you know, you have the expectations that you get coming into the season, and then you kind of almost duplicate the record that you had last year. And kind of along those lines, you learn something about maybe your team. What's maybe the one or two things that might be on your mind most this summer when you think about where your team is at and what could lie ahead for you guys?
I think one, it's like how much better can we get as players who are here? You know, what could happen as far as trades or draft or what may happen? I look at what we have and I think what could have been, what could we have done better throughout this season. And obviously there are things, you know, if we make our free throws, you know, we probably have 51 wins. Like it's small that start to add up and start to snowball effect into a season. And now we're looking at it like, damn, we didn't make the playoffs. We weren't that good of a team, which could be true, which could not be true. But what can we do next year to put us in a better spot? And those are, obviously we have to look ourselves in the mirror as players. What could we have done better? And then, you know, obviously the front office, you know, what do we bring in to be a better team, to compete in this hard conference? And that's pretty much it.
Okay, we will react to De'Aaron's presser when we return. And a little bit later in the show, we will play Sabonis and maybe Malik Monk. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sactown Sports.
You just heard De'Aaron Fox, and if you are just now joining us, thank you for joining us. De'Aaron Fox just had his presser. We are playing this by ear. We may go to Malik Monk live. We may go to Sabonis. All depends on how the timing happens. Sabonis just ended, but first, let's react to some of the things that De'Aaron Fox had to say. Chris, what stuck out to you?
Yeah, there was a couple things that definitely stuck out. I mean, we talked about it last segment when we briefly played De'Aaron's presser, but the 46 wins not being bad, but you see where this conference is going definitely tells you not just about, I mean, the teams that are in front of the Kings right now in terms of the standings, but we can't forget about the Grizzlies who definitely are going to have something to say next year. San Antonio with Wemby, they're definitely going to look to take a step forward. They're probably going to have play-in goals next year, and so that's another team that then enters the top 10. We don't know if the Warriors are, who falls out is another great question. Like, do the Warriors fall back? Do the Lakers fall back? Are the Kings a potential team that needs to worry about falling back? Or is it the Clippers who might lose Paul George this offseason? We don't know. But the point is, there's like 12 to 13 teams in the West that are fighting for 10 spots. And that's definitely alarming considering 46 wins wasn't enough to get it done. It makes you think if this conference is going to get better next year, what's it going to take to get that even a 10 seed is just insane. And definitely his comments about Jordy for sure. Just the fact that Jordy pushes this team. He's somebody who is, I mean, we know how involved he's been, but to hear, you know, him say, you know, Jordy just on a game to game basis is a huge part of their game plan. But specifically pointing out last year's playoffs kind of is interesting. Just when you think of how much of Mike Brown's brain trust is led by Jordy Fernandez. It's a really, really big spot that they're going to miss. And just in general, it seems like everybody in that organization is aware next year they need to bring it. Him talking about Keegan is probably the biggest thing that he mentioned, was just all of the things about Keegan getting better, where he can develop, how important it is for him to develop if they are going to reach the goals that they plan to reach. And of course, he's gonna say that, and he's going to be a big part of Keegan's development.
He's hard on Keegan.
They spent all summer together last year. I'd be shocked if they don't do it again. So definitely was really interesting here, De'Aaron. Yeah, be really blunt and honest about Keegan's development.
Talking about dribbling, if you don't want to dribble, that's a problem. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely, it feels like he's taking the big brother approach with Keegan Murray, and that's probably what Keegan Murray needs.
Yeah.
And some of the things that stuck out to me when De'Aaron Fox talks about the front office making the team better, who do you think he's okay with saying goodbye to? Obviously, we will never know that, but that's the thing. You can't just get better. It's not a sitcom where nothing changes, or a cartoon where you wear the same clothes.
Can't just replace Aunt Viv?
No. Well, you're going to have to replace Aunt Viv. That's exactly what's going to happen.
That's pretty sad.
And you know, De'Aaron, I think deep down in his heart of hearts, knows that he's the first one to tell you that this is a business.
Yeah.
And you know, we haven't even gotten to what he said about Malik Monk getting his money and Kings fans not really liking what De'Aaron Fox had to say. We still have that to come on this show, and if not today because of the press conference throughout the week. It's a long off-season. De'Aaron also said, I still have things I can work towards. I have stretches where I've looked really good. I've had stunts where I haven't, and that's essentially what this year was. I mean, the hot start. I mean, you go to every game like we did, and you hear Mike Brown just slowly but surely stop bringing up De'Aaron Fox as far as the MVP conversation.
Right.
And I think somebody said it was, the first, I don't even think it was to All-Star break. I think it was prior to All-Star break where he started to cool off, and he still had a great season, but there are just levels to being a franchise guy. And I think De'Aaron is a franchise guy at some level. It's just a matter of what level is going to be. And he said, hey, I'm 26. There's no reason to think that I can't continue to improve. You know, he talked about the free throws.
Yeah.
What did he say, Chris? He said,
have 51 wins.
And that's brutal.
The Kings ranked at the end of the season last, 30 out of 30. In terms of free throw percentage. And, I'm sure there is, that would be 5 wins that he's saying that they pretty much tricked off.
Not in the play-in.
I'm sure there's something to that. I mean, it'd be interesting to try and find the corollaries to missed free throws versus point differential in those games and see if truly, hey, yeah, sometimes it can be that simple. You lose by eight, you miss 10 free throws. Right. Like, sometimes it is that cut and dry. And, you know, we had a caller, I think it was Raj earlier, who mentioned, you know, the free throws. And or I don't think it was Raj who said, if you can't make free throws,
Ron.
You shouldn't. It was Ron who said, if you can't make free throws, you shouldn't be in the NBA. Of course, that can't be the case when your two best players are the ones who aren't making free throws, but they have to figure out a way to balance that thing out, because you cannot just sign up every year and say, you know, with our two guys, we're probably going to be bottom 10 in free throws every year. You have to try and remedy that. You have to bring in guys who get to the free throw line and make their free right. throws to try and offset. Sabonis is always going to be hovering around 70 to 74% from the line. Fox seems like he's going to hover anywhere from 70 to 80% from the line, which is a large variance, but you got to find somebody else who gets the line a ton that also hits them. Malik was a 91% free throw shooter last year, but not enough volume. You need more guys to help lift that number up.
It's tight today with the press conferences and everything we're trying to get to, but we always have time. 916-339-1144, our guy TC. TC, you got about 30-ish seconds here. What you got for us?
Hey, let's keep it real quick. Hey, listen, first and foremost, what's up, bro? Hey, I'm sick about that lost dog, but listen, big moves got to be made. I'm going to keep it real simple like this. Check it out. I believe Malik is going to come back. I told y'all from day one, but I'm going to tell y'all Kings fans, and I'm going to tell y'all right now, Allen and Chris, if he don't come back, bro, we're going to be straight. We're going to be straight with Keon. Keon's just going to pull the trigger, and he's going to be good. So don't try. I want Malik back, but if he don't come back, you heard it in Fox's voice. That's his homeboy. Fox probably already know, like, if the money is right, Malik is gone.
Right.
If the money is cool, he's going to stay with us. Fox, no, but he can't come out and say that. We all know that. We ain't stupid. We all know that. But if I'm telling y'all, if you leave, we're going to be straight. As far as the move, whatever move we're going to make, our moves, it has to be this summer. There's no more waiting for the trade deadline or any of that. I'm going to tell you, the move has to be made. I don't know what it is. We got to go hard after Paul George, Zach LaVine. Those two guys, if we can get the boy that went to New York, because listen, he was on a 1-year deal, so we can continue to get that money to OG. Them is the type of moves that we got to make. Keegan, bro, I love Keegan. Bro, you got to the deadline, bro, to really get your game together all offseason. You got to start bringing the ball up, and you got to start shooting the ball, big dog. If you come in the next season the same Tim and Keegan, you have to be on the table, big dog.
Thanks for the call, TC. As always, when we return, we will hear from Domas, Domantas Sabonis, and his exit presser. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. All right, we were able to time it up just right because Kyle Ledbetter is working so very hard behind the glass for us. Let's throw to Malik Monk and his exit presser right now.
What's going on, Malik?
What's up?
At the end of the Pelicans game, I noticed you just sat on the bench for a little bit and kind of took that moment in. I wonder what was going through your head. What were you trying to do in that moment?
Let go of the season because it was over. Just try to figure out what's going forward, figure out what I'm going to do going forward. Just trying to let go, decompress.
What was just the level of disappointment as you sat there realizing that you'd potentially had played your last game in Sacramento?
Hard to grasp. I think that's why I was sitting there a little long. DC helped me back to the locker room, though, telling me to come on. But it's kind of bittersweet.
Do you feel like you have an idea of what to expect this summer? And I ask that knowing, obviously, where you've been in your career prior, you know, Charlotte, L.A., and you're coming off of two of your best seasons of your career. I imagine it's a fun position to be in, knowing that you can kind of control your own destiny. But do you have an idea of how this might all play out? And if so, how you think it goes?
No, I don't. Because I haven't had two good seasons in a row like this. Now I don't know what to expect. But I got a great agent. And I know he's going to make sure I'm good. So I just sit back and relax and let him do his job.
Malik, to build on that point, a lot of the local perspective is are you going to come back? Are the Kings going to lose you? I do think it's fair to you to remember where you've been. Like, you've never been in this position. where the momentum in your career was, you know, at a level where you're going to have a good market. So as far as your journey and just what you've been through, is it gratifying to be here with options and knowing, you know, how much things have changed for you?
Hell yeah, man. It feels good. It feels good knowing that going into the offseason you will have options because I didn't have options before. So, yeah, man, it feels good to just – I wouldn't say relax because you got to still work out and work on your game. But I can. It's a little weight off my shoulders for sure.
Malik, obviously the Kings are limited as to what they can offer you. How tough do you think this decision is going to be for you? Because obviously you've built relationships here. Could be the sixth man of the year. You've done this here. But you can obviously make more elsewhere. How tough is it weighing all those options?
Yeah, man, it's big because I can go somewhere else with a lot more money and be in a worse situation. So you never know. And like I said, I got a great agent that's going to do his job. I think my job is done. I did what I needed to do this year. And it's going to play out. I think it's going to play out in the right way.
Malik, the last couple of seasons, just want to, you know, get your thoughts, you know, working with Mike Brown because it seemed like that, you know, you have thrived, you know, under his system. And, you know, as far as, you know, the coaching, did you get what you wanted out of him as far as him coaching you?
What do you mean in that? What do you mean?
As far as, you know, elevating your game,
I don't think he helped me elevate my game. I think he put people on notice of what I can do by letting me play. I think my game was already elevated. I just needed an opportunity to show it. But, yeah, Mike did a great job with us, knowing all the down people we had that wouldn't talk, dealing with the people that me and Trey that really just spoke up a lot and just trying to mesh all of us together. I think Mike did a great job in that.
Malik, officially being named a finalist for Sixth Man of the Year, what would it mean to you to win that award and how badly do you want to win it?
Oh, yeah, everything, man. I want it. That's all I've been thinking about, the Sixth Man Award, man. And, yeah, yeah, that's all I can say, man. I want it bad, and that's all I've been thinking about since then, especially when the finalists came out. So I hope y'all voted for me.
Malik, seems like you kind of took on a bit of a mentorship role in a lot of ways with this team, with the younger guys. Just kind of touch on that and you kind of taking on that responsibility with the team and also how different it might be from young guy to young guy and how different the approach might be to kind of mentoring them in different ways.
Yeah, man. They're not really young guys because we kind of in the same age, but I've just been in the league a little longer. But I think that's why they listen to me because I've been around and I've been through the same situation they're going through. And, yeah, I think that's what I try to tell them, too, so they can listen to me and not try to fight it because that's what I was doing, fighting it, fighting the information. And everybody just took the information and ran with it. And you can see that with Keon. He finally got his confidence, and I was trying to install that in him since last year. So it's kind of weird, though, like you said, being a young guy, teaching the young guys. But, yeah, I think I got that from picking up on with Bron, AD, how they carry themselves and how they used to talk to me. I think that rubbed off a little bit on me.
Malik, you got my vote for Sixth Man. You seem a little bit more emotional than maybe we usually see you right now. I just wonder, like, how much or maybe some of this stuff hitting you today? You've been here, had a chance to play with Fox, had a chance to really show who you are and what you can do on the floor. And I know, you know, this time you valued it as much as maybe the fans and the organizations valued you. What are you feeling today and what are these emotions?
I just woke up, too. I'm kind of tired. emotions are everywhere, man. Like you said, I came here with one of my best friends, turned the organization around, turned the city around. The city loves me, and I said before, I love the city. So, yeah, man, the emotion's just everywhere right now, and that's just something I got to deal with, being an NBA player, so I'll be all right.
Couple questions for you, Malik. First, Keegan just said no matter what decision you make, he'll have your back forever. Domas, De'Aaron have echoed kind of the same thing. the support that they have, knowing that obviously they want you back, they want to keep playing with you, but they support whatever you do and are encouraging you to seek what's best for you. I guess, what does that mean to you?
Everything is everything, man, because they didn't have to accept me when I got here, besides Fox. but nah, yeah, man, they didn't have to accept me how they did. It was great. They all welcomed me. And like I say, they all listen to me now. Since the last 2 years, I think I stepped up as a leader for the team because Fox not that vocal. Domas not that vocal by telling people what to do or trying to better people. He just shows he goes out there and dominate, and I think that's the way he leads. So everybody got a different way of leading, man, and I think they just accepted me to be the leader of this team in different aspects.
And then secondly, I imagine these last few weeks have been difficult sitting on the sidelines watching that stretch and watching the play in. Obviously not the result you guys wanted, but I guess how proud are you of the effort and the fight and the Golden State win and everything to get to that point and how much you were a part of that?
Yeah, man, it was great seeing those guys compete like that, man, but I didn't like it at all because I was watching. I wasn't out there with my guys doing the thing I love the best. So it was kind of bittersweet, like everything's happening right now, man. But, yeah, I loved it. I loved it. It was a great season. Even though it ended like it did, we showed a lot of heart.
I'd imagine it's a good spot to be in, but how tough is it to balance, you know, getting paid as you've played yourself into and also finding what an ideal spot is for you?
That's my agent job. Nah, yeah, man. I'm going to just take a little time to relax and decompress and not think about it right now. I know my agent is working hard and probably got some options, so that's another reason why I can relax.
Oh, Rari Malik. Oh. Yeah, so two questions for you. You know, like just overall since you've been drafted, you know, you've had that six-man role when you were in Charlotte, you know, down in L.A. with the Lakers and now up here in Sacramento. And just knowing that now you have mentioned having options, you know, going to a different team in free agency, you know, do you always see yourself as just having that six-man type career, or are you looking at going to a system to where you want to be more of a facilitator on the offense?
I think I facilitate while I'm being a six-man, but, yeah, I definitely want to start. I think I've been saying that I wanted to start, but if it's not fit for the team for me to start, I'll come off the bench and be the best, so... I just take my role and run with it.
Yeah. And, you know, the second question, you know, we think about just these connections that are getting made with, you know, former college teammates. You know, we think about in New York with the Knicks, with, you know, the Villanova connection with DiVincenzo, Brunson, and Josh Hart. And here in Sacramento with Trey Lyles, De'Aaron, and yourself. You know, is that going to be a push for you to want to stay in Sacramento just to keep that nucleus of the guys that you've pretty much came up with and have established, you know, just a system here overall?
Yes and no. Because, like I said before, I can go to a situation with more money and be in a worse seating or role or anything. So it plays a little part in it, but I don't know yet. I don't know.
Malik, to follow up on the college connection, I know you were very excited when Coach Cal decided to go to Arkansas. And as an Arkansas guy yourself, do you want to expand on what that means as, you know, the college landscape is, you know, moving constantly?
It's just for Arkansas, man. We've been needing somebody to turn the program around, especially on the basketball end, man. And having my former college coach go there, it just shocked really most of the people where I'm from on the northeastern side because they all said I was going to go to Kentucky and play with Cal and everything like that. And him just coming to the state where he's available. And some of my friends can go out there and see him and just go interact with him. That changed lives because we don't see things like that in Arkansas. And I think Cal will turn the whole state around. So it's a big thing. It's a big thing for Arkansas for sure.
You mentioned prior to the injury that what happened in the playoffs postseason could kind of help your calculus on where you're going. How unanswered do you feel like that is, considering that you weren't able to be a part of it? And
a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
And what is your belief if you did return that, like, this core, you know, is trending in the right direction?
I feel like we'd be playing right now if I was playing. So we would have been going in the right direction with that. So I can't really speak too much on that because I can't control who comes here and who leaves and everything like that. So, but yeah, I just feel like we'll be playing right now. Well, played yesterday if I was not injured.
Following up on that, do you feel like if you guys had advanced to this, that you would have been healthy enough to actually contribute and be able to be a factor in a first-round playoff series?
Say that again.
If you guys had advanced this far, knowing that you had the injury that you did, do you feel like you have clarity as to whether or not you might have been able to contribute?
Definitely. But I still wanted to play, though. Yeah, so. But, yeah, I definitely could have. Yeah, I definitely did.
And being that you're a direct guy, you know, I feel like we'd be doing a disservice if we didn't ask this question. But perfect world situation, would you want to be in Sacramento?
Definitely.
Malik, you talked a little bit about being there for the quote-unquote young guys while you were out, and you mentioned Keon. What do you just see with Keon and his potential moving forward?
A great defender in the NBA. Whether he's starting or coming off the bench, he's going to be a great defender. Got a lot of potential. He was making shots, and that just added more to his defensive pressure too. So, yeah, he gonna be all right. Keon gonna be all right, and he listens too. Want to learn, want to get better. So yeah, he gonna be all right. He'll be a good NBA player.
We will react to Malik Monk's presser when we return. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Stiles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
The text line, Sac Chat, a lot of doom and gloom. Thinking that Malik Monk is gone, we just played the presser. Call in if you'd like to react to what you just heard from De'Aaron and Malik. And we also have Sabonis a little bit later. Yeah, I mean, he said everything he's supposed to say, right? I don't think, and I know, Chris, you have some strong feelings about people that have strong feelings either way, but he said what he's supposed to say. He did the job that he's supposed to do. He's got a great agent. It's in the agent's hands now. You know, I believe that was Sean Cunningham at the very end. Sean, friend of the show, asked straight up, in a perfect world, would you stay in Sacramento? And Malik said, yeah. And honestly,
definitely.
Sacramento, definitely. Honestly, Sacramento Kings fans, that's all you can ask for.
Yep.
The good thing is, you know, the only question out of all of this, Chris, or there are two questions. The only two questions to me that Malik has to answer is how big of a difference it's going to be between the $17 million a year versus the other offer and who that team is and what that team would bring to the table as far as quality of life for what Malik wants out of life, the team and the competitive nature of that team. Those are the only two questions.
Yeah.
So Malik's going to know fairly soon what the offers are going to be once the D-Lo's of the world, once this whole thing is said and done, and also which teams are interested in him. So he knows. He said it right there. He said, I know I can make more money somewhere else, but it could be a worse situation. So he knows that. The problem is if there is more money and it doesn't seem to be a worse situation or a situation that he could envision himself at. So he knows what's in front of him. It's just a matter of how big of a difference the money and the situation is going to be.
Yeah, no, two questions straight off the bat Malik's agent's going to ask. Do you want to stay in Sacramento? Yes or no? Apparently the answer is yes. Second question, how bad? How badly do you want to stay?
Right.
Because if you really want to stay, we can make it work. You'll make money. You'll make about 17 mil, but you'll also be leaving some on the table. And if you kind of want to stay in SAC or you want to stay in SAC, if it makes sense for you, well, then there's going to be a lot of different options that you can explore. And we just don't know exactly what those other options are. Like you just said, like if it's, you know, if it's Philadelphia that's offering him a ton of money and they're offering him a starting spot and, you know, maybe there are some other players that are being whispered about, you know, Philly being interested in, maybe that makes a lot of sense. Maybe, you know, we've talked about Orlando a ton. I know their cap figure has moved because a lot of the initial predictions didn't have Orlando bringing back Jonathan Isaac. Mm-hmm. Now that they're going to bring back Jonathan Isaac, they don't have a completely empty, or I should say full pocketbook to throw at Malik. So that kind of impacts what the money they can throw at him. San Antonio's got there's tons of different options for Malik if he wants it, but he even said, you know, I think he said I could go somewhere else and get a lot more money, but he might be in a worse situation. And I don't think he wants to be in that worse situation. I think that's the thing that the Kings have for them on their side, is they are definitely building up. And Malik even said it there. I think if I were playing, we would still be playing. We would be in the playoffs if Malik was out there. And, you know, if he believes that, then that maybe shows that the ultimate end result isn't the way Malik feels about this team, if that makes sense. Yes, because in the Slater article earlier this season, it said, you know, definitely how this season ends is going to impact where I'm feeling on this whole decision. And if Malik feels like, yeah, even though they lost in the play-in, I don't think this is a play-in team. I think Malik knowing that nuance is incredibly important for these negotiations, because, you know, if he were just walking into this situation blind, he would say, no, you guys didn't make the playoffs. You're not a playoff team. Yeah, you're young, but there's a lot of young teams out there. He understands the situation might be right if I'm playing there. Like, if I'm playing there, who knows? This could be a second round exit team and a team that's a lot closer to reaching their goal than what it actually ended up being. So a lot of interesting notes in there from Malik, and a lot of things that I think people are going to use as fuel for their Malik is absolutely gone. I think that there was enough quotes in there too, even though Malik had a lot of positivity towards Sacramento, definitely let it know that he's going to explore his options for sure.
Yeah, and that's just people trying to protect themselves.
Of course.
That's exactly what it is. This is from NBA University, and we've said these teams before. Fox talking about Malik, this was when, and we will play that Fox sound a little bit later in the show or later in the week, as if he's gone. Teams like the Spurs, the Magic, the Thunder, Detroit, Philly, and Utah will all have space to bring in a unrestricted free agent contract larger than that. I'm looking here, Chris, just quickly. Utah, I can't see Malik wanting to be in Utah. Sense. They're not even contending. They might try to throw a bag at him. Utah needs to figure out what it is that they want to do. Philly, I can say, as somebody who's lived in Philly and somebody who's lived in Sacramento, I don't know if Malik, I think on the court, Malik would love it.
Right.
I don't know if that's off the court. Look, I'll put you like this. You can't golf all year round, Malik. You cannot golf all year round in Philadelphia. Yeah. Detroit, you definitely can't golf all year round.
No.
And do you want to be a part
of... golf early, but you cannot golf year round.
You'll be free around this time every single year. OKC is interesting, but I think if OKC is going to make a move, they're going to try to get a big fish and turn this thing into a full-on machine for the next decade here. So I don't know that how high Malik would be on the Thunder's wish list. I think the two teams you got to worry about that we've been saying from the beginning, the Spurs and the Magic.
Yep.
I think it comes down to the Spurs and the Magic.
Both of those teams have about $25 million of cap space.
And it depends.
So would they be willing to dump all of that on Malik?
In my opinion, and Chris, hop in here, if you are a Kings fan, you should want D'Angelo Russell to ball out.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, him and Clay. Well, Clay's turn's already done. Over, but yeah.
Clay kind of messed it up.
Those are the two guys that are probably going to take Malik's money.
Now, is this just to say that no matter what D'Angelo Russell does, the Lakers wouldn't want him back?
I don't know if that's the case, because the Lakers might not have any other option too. They might be desperate and say, in the same way the Kings can't afford to lose Malik, Lakers might be feeling that same way about D'Lo, that, I don't know if we want to keep him long term, but at the same time, if we don't bring him back, then we're not going to be winning anything.
What I've seen,
just replace that.
Yeah, what I've seen is, I've seen Trae Young, you see everybody with the Lakers,
right,
but
that's right.
If they're able to get Trae Young,
I think that's going to be where they try.
Right, so then they would be okay. They're not going to try to match on D'Angelo Russell. So I believe Kings fans want D'Angelo Russell to ball out
Please.
So that maybe the Magic or the Spurs say, hey, let's go after one of these guys and D'Angelo Russell would be higher on the wish list than Malik Monk. When we return, Domantas Sabonis, the other leader of the team, speaks during his exit presser. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.